This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. I'm Corey Crow. We're here at Policy and a Pint in downtown Monroe for a community forum talking about crime in the Twin Cities. And we've talked about some of the issues we have. We don't have enough time to talk about all of them because there's lots of different things going on. But we wanted to talk with the folks that have an investment in the community. And our panel tonight is Franz Hill, a resident and a business owner in the Garden District in Monroe. We've got Sergeant C.J. Beck of the West Monroe Police Department. He's also the public information officer there, been with the West Monroe Police for 18 years. And Patrol Major Vincent Gutierrez. And Major, how long have you been at the Monroe Police?
28 years.
28 years. See, CJ told me you'd been there for 60 years. No, not that long. 28 years is a long time. How has our city changed over 28 years of policing?
It changed a lot. It's like the crimes are different. Social media now has done got involved. Everybody's posting things on social media instead of picking up the phone, calling the police, and we find out later on when we get home that something had happened or whatever, where they need to start calling us before they post it.
Franz, you were speaking with me before today, and we talked a little bit about social media. One of your points was that all these social media posts are maybe making the situation look a little worse than it really is.
My kids went to Lexington, Lee, and Neville. My son graduated Neville in 2009 and went away to New Orleans for 4 years with a car. In those 4 years in New Orleans, he never got a traffic ticket. When he came back home from New Orleans after graduating from Loyola, he got three tickets in about 3 weeks, all in the Garden District at that time, because the awareness, the paranoia, the social media, it was at its height. And I was at one point afraid for my kids to walk down the street. So yes, I do agree with Major Gutierrez that social media has had an impact, both negatively and possibly positively, but you know, you take the good with the bad, I guess.
How, with all the social media and technology, how has that changed what you guys do as patrol officers? I noticed something, I think I saw a story yesterday where there was a community and a lot of these folks had the Ring doorbells, little doorbell cameras. And there was a neighborhood watch program from Ring where they were able to combine all the doorbell cameras in their little community. And ultimately the police was doing like a neighborhood watch through doorbell cameras. How's technology coming into play? Is there anything on the horizon that you guys are doing that's kind of new and innovative?
That's technology, and I don't deal with that. We do have several neighborhood watch programs out there, and each neighborhood watch, they actually have their own Facebook page. But for us to see it, we have to have access to that Facebook page, and a lot of them don't give it to us because they'll post it, but like I said, we'd have no access to it.
Just to jump on
that. Hang on a minute. I'll come to you in a second. You don't have a microphone, so nobody on the radio can hear you. Brian Creekmore is here in the back with us. Brian, a question?
So one of the things I've been able to do, I'm an attorney, and I've had the opportunity of working with a nonprofit over in Texas called the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition that focuses on basically criminal justice reform and some alternative ways aside from just incarceration, which is kind of the way we tend to deal with crime, is this kind of mentality of tough on crime. But one of the ways it's been most effective, especially for youth, has been that they focused more on community treatment resources as opposed to incarcerating kids. I think we can all agree that most youth start using drugs when they're in middle school and high school, and we tend to kind of filter them in and out of a youth detention system, which usually creates lower job prospects as they get older. The rate of recidivism is a lot higher. They end up focusing more on trying to fit into a world that doesn't fit for them anymore after they get out of prison. We're creating a worse situation for them. It disproportionately affects youth of color. We have a higher rate of suicide. So those are a lot of things that happen when we force kids into detention, because we've kind of got this idea of, let's lock them up and get them off the streets for a little while, but they're going to come back out and they're not going to be as productive when they do. So I guess my question is, and I really don't know this, is here in town, are we focusing on any of these community treatment resources as opposed to incarceration, which are actually a lot cheaper? Because I want to say that in Texas, the average cost is like $400 a day for incarceration as opposed to $75 a day for in-community treatment. So are we doing anything like that? Because I honestly don't know. And if so, is it the go-to or is it kind of the exception rather than the rule?
Well, I guess I can answer it by saying this. I mean, my job is to arrest. It's not to reform or anything. I'm hired to arrest and protect the city. If you break the law, you're going to go to jail. Once you're in jail, I don't go back and check on you to find out if you wiped your nose or whatever. I mean, like I said, we're hired to protect the city, not to see if they go to a rehab or anything like that.
For you guys, I know we've had, it seems like the last few years, maybe a lot more hard feelings towards police officers. Do you think young folks view you guys as the enemy, or do we have a good relationship with our youth?
I think it goes both ways. To speak with the attorney had mentioned, you have a very good question. That's an excellent question. I'm also a mental health person. And in saying that I think that's going to be more in line with our educational system and our legislative system. Now, we don't have any control over that. We don't make the laws. Sometimes we have to interpret the laws, but the laws try to interpret it for us, but obviously there's opinions, and you know that being an attorney, and that's why you try cases. What was the second part of that?
I was just asking, young folks in the last few years, how's the relationship with young folks? They view you as the enemy, or are things getting better? And what are the kind of things we're doing in the community with young folks?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. I guess that's what I started to speak to. But we have police trying to get more involved in outreach programs and in schools. In West Monroe, we have an officer that's on the beat that tries to go to a school in their zone every day, just elementary school or the high school, just to make contact. That's above and beyond our school resource people. We're trying to have good relationship with these kids and be mentors to the kids. Anytime anybody wants to come to West Monroe, you can ask for me. I'll give the kids a tour of the police department and what we do and some of our equipment. So it's those types of activities that will help us develop a better relationship. Now, I can say that one thing I've learned in police, the police side of it is, I don't know if there's anything such thing as job security, but I've always said there's job security. It's kind of like the parent. I'm arresting grandkids of kids of parents that I've arrested over my 18, 20 years. That's not good.
A question from Mr. Al Peterson. Al?
Actually, I have more of a statement than a question right now. I'm a realtor. I deal in commercial as well as residential real estate sales. We want, as a community, to put on our best face. We want to be the best we can be. But do you realize that we are many times, most of the time, are our own worst enemy? There is a perception. The perception of our city, the perception of our law enforcement, perceptions go on. Education, they run rampant. Do you realize that perceptions become, in the minds of those who are listening, a reality? So we become the reality that we as citizens perceive, and we put it on, as we've said, the Facebook. We put it in conversation. I want to give one example of someone from out of town who was considering bringing a business to Monroe that would have employed quite a few people. They went from business to business, and they talked to clerks in convenience stores, service people in restaurants, general citizens. Their report was over 90% of hearing negative from these people. Where do they get these ideas, and where does it come from? We continue to perpetuate these things, and I very much appreciate the three gentlemen that are on the panel tonight, West Monroe, Monroe, community advocate. We appreciate you being here and speaking. I've been to many, many conferences where the law enforcement has been there, and the picture that they themselves painted was so negative of our city that I was embarrassed sometimes for us, for the citizens. Thank you for being positive. Thank you for standing up for the city.
Thank you.
How, let's talk a little bit about the positive, as Al was talking about. How do some communities deal with, I guess the question is, what's a positive relationship look like with police? What are some of the things we can do as citizens of Monroe, citizens of West Monroe Parish, wherever you are? How do we get involved in helping you guys keep the city safe?
Well, getting involved in all the different programs that we have, Citizens Police Academy and business meetings and council meetings and coming to those, but also to keep an open mind and open approach to what they're looking at. You know, one thing that I notice in the mental health side of things, and I've seen it cross over into actually all professions, is the linear approach that people have. I mean, you see things from one perspective, and there's always more perspective. You know, one of the questions that's been asked over years, and I got asked a couple of days ago, do you guys have body cams? Well, I'll tell you about body cams. Body cams are linear. They don't show the whole surrounding. They don't give you smells and sounds and sights and peripheral vision. They don't give you any of that stuff. Although I believe body cams have their use. But one of the things that I've noticed in the court system, we used to have cameras in every vehicle, and the court system got to where they were relying on that camera solely over any other statements. If the camera broke down or didn't get turned on for whatever reason, automatically that case was thrown out.
Yes.
So there's a lot of experience and things you learn that go along with a job of doing it over time.
That's correct. And so by being involved and being a part of our team and us being a part of your team as a community, we can learn about each other. We can learn about those perspectives. I can tell you right now, I have a perspective of everybody up here that you don't have because I'm sitting up here looking this way. Is my perception right or wrong? It's based on my perception. And so unless we can have a conversation and talk about it, I don't understand your perspective. I don't know where you come from.
How do we, Major Vincent Gutierrez, Monroe Police, how do we get involved with Monroe Police? And if we see something out there happening, what are the kind of things we need to be doing?
Pick up the phone and call. Walk up to a police officer and tell him what you've seen. Shake their hand.
We just got just a couple of seconds left in our evening. I want to, again, thank you, gentlemen, for being with us. We've got a couple of minutes. I want to get a closing statement tonight from we'll start on the end with Major Gutierrez. Major, your final thoughts for the folks listening on radio, the folks that may be watching this video on our website. Overall, how do you feel about Monroe and where we're headed as a city?
I think Monroe's a great city. It's a great town. Like I said, I enjoy working here in Monroe. Have been for 28 years. I think we're moving forward. There's, just like in life, there's setbacks every now and then. We got a new chief with the Monroe Police Department who's moving things forward again. We back him 100%. Hopefully that we can continue to do it.
Sergeant C.J. Beck, West Monroe Police, what are your thoughts on our meeting tonight, and what do you need us to do here in the future for you guys?
Well, I think we've covered it very well tonight as far as, all the different segments that we've had. I would continue to encourage people to get involved where they can and know that, our city government is really trying to make a difference. Mayor Mitchell is doing an excellent job, and she didn't pay me to say that tonight, so we're good. In fact, I don't even know if she knows I'm here. But also, just to understand, I want to understand you. I can't speak for all police, but I want you to understand us. And to do that, I mean, I've lost so many brothers and sisters in blue to crimes every day. OfficerDown.com. Understand, man, I have a six-month-old, so I think about every day I go to work, I think about not coming home. And I pray. Every morning before I leave my driveway in my patrol car, I pray for the good Lord's safety on me and my shift, and that we can serve the public and we can make a difference, a positive difference. And for this, sometimes there's bad things that happen and bad seeds. We want to get those bad seeds out of the police work. We don't want them in our job. We don't want them a part of our hood, our brotherhood. So,
Franz, I'm going to give you the final thoughts tonight. You're a resident here in Monroe. Where are we headed as a city? And your thoughts on this evening?
Well, my thoughts on this evening echo the thoughts of these other two officers. If you're concerned, get involved. If you're concerned about crime, join a neighborhood watch. If you're concerned about policing, join the police department. If you're concerned about it, our elected officials, vote, or even better, run. So I'd like to use this opportunity to announce my candidacy for Ouachita Parish Police Juror District F. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Franz Hill, now getting involved. Thank you, Franz, for your comments. Thanks again to our panel tonight for being with us. Thanks for our audience for being here. And we want to say thanks to Two Dudes Brew & Q, 436 Desiard Street in Monroe, for letting us be here this evening. To find out more about Policy in a Pint and when our next Policy in a Pint is, you can visit our website at kedm.org.